Stand for a word of prayer. We do greet you all that are listening on the live stream, via the live stream on the internet. We greet you all in the mighty name of Yahweh and the precious hope of Yahshua HaMashiach. We gathered here in Atlanta at the Marriott here with Pastor Hunter. We're going to finish the message that I began on last night to take it into some greater depth. So we do want to pray. Almighty Yahweh, we do bless you this day in the mighty name of Yahshua HaMashiach. We thank you for the great victory that you have given unto your people. We thank you for your mercies and your goodness that you have shown unto us all. We thank you for this Shabbat as we gather the might and the power of your name to assemble here in this place today. We will bless you, praise you, and exalt you, and esteem your name very highly. Give us strength to understand, wisdom to perceive, and to know what you speak unto the people today, your house, Israel. We bless you for this, and we thank you. And we do praise you in the mighty name of Yahshua HaMashiach, and all the saints said hallelujah. We're going to have Sister Roberts to come and sing for us. Which one of those songs, Sister Roberts? Number 4. I hope that everything works well. We had a little problem with CD player. It's not working properly, so I'm hoping that she can sing this beautiful song for you. All right. We think that things will work. Bless you all. Listen. do bless you for all things today on this Shabbat. We thank you for all things, Yahweh. Look to your neighbor and tell them Shabbat Shalom. It's good to be in the place of worship to assemble ourselves before Almighty Yahweh in a time and an hour that we're presently living in. We see great destruction upon the face of the earth. The mind of man has become so demented by the powers of darkness that there is no ability to discern or determine what is right or wrong today. There's very little judgment and true judgment, very little justice upon the face of the earth, because men do not have the ability nor the concept of what the true judgment of Yahweh is. And it begins in the Torah. It begins to teach us of the perfect concepts and precepts that will open up the avenue or the door unto the mind of HaMashiach that will know all things that He intends for us to know. This is a generation that the mind is based upon a sensual prodding, the natural things, prods us along, moves us into that position or place, whereby we believe and our concepts are based upon natural things. Yahweh is mighty. He is phenomenal. There's no one like Him. We do not have the express superlatives to describe the magnitude and the power of His great power. And so what He has done, He said, in order for you not to be left alone without any kind of concept that is pure as to who I am, He said that I will send you the Ruah, my spirit, and it will dwell in you. I will send you the power of my strength. Now that's what the Ruah of Yahweh is. It's His power. It's the power of Yahweh. He said, you will not be left to the powers of darkness to deceive you, and to turn you away from truth that makes you free. And that is what the truth of Yahweh does. It makes, it creates a new mind and a new Ruah within us. And it makes us free whereby we have that liberty to worship and to serve Him. Not in some kind of traditional ritualistic form, but in the manner of truth. That our hearts are honest before Him. Our mind is open unto His truth. We have that receptive heart to receive what He say, and acknowledge that it comes from Him. And so what the enemy has done in this hour, he has construed the concept of this mighty one of Israel that created all things. So he has, as this Jezebel, her cup full of the name of blasphemy, and so there's every kind of descriptive superlative to destroy this one that created all things. He is mighty. And He is certainly identified by His name. And He has a name. He is not identified by the pagan expressions as Lord, God. He is not identified that way. It's wrong. He has a name. And so what this woman has done, this Jezebel, this one that her cup, or she has in the midst of her bosom, the name's full of blasphemy. That men will blaspheme His name. And what He has done, He has orchestrated a tenacious attempt. And I'll tell you how it began. In 1929, in this nation, one of the most profound discoveries was discovered. We know what that is and what it was. 1929. It was the advent of what we call the tell and the vision of the powers of darkness. But that is what it does. It tells us the concepts, the visions, the intent of the forces of darkness. And we know what they desire to do. We can see that. We see the practices of those things in our daily society. So in 1929, a great advent or this introduction of this great thing was introduced into the lives of the people in America. It was known as the television. Now, they did not begin to perfect that technology and began to refine it to the point whereby they could mass produce it, that every home could have one. Now this is the direct correlation of the powers of darkness and how He takes the mind of man to use it to manipulate it. And so in the 1940s and 50s, we began to see the proliferation of this in the homes of everyone. And before that, we began to see, before 1940, 1950s, that there was a morality in the nation. Even around the world, you had a sense of morality. It really was. We were the exporters of a sense of morality, He says that kindness, even though we had our Jim Crows and our different laws, and we had our race riots and things like that, it was a sense of guilt in this nation that men could come to a consciousness of what things that they were doing were wrong. And America had some form of a conscience. And she did. She doesn't possess a conscience at all today. The conscience has been seared. And it is so seared that it cannot hear the truth. It will not receive the truth. And it is the byproduct, or we are the byproduct of what America has produced. We are the mindset of America. And when a conscience becomes so seared, there's nothing that can reach the inward parts of that consciousness of man. And so we began to see the falling of moralities in the 50s and the 60s. We began to see the mindset and the transforming and this mutation of thinking into one whereby there was no right or wrong at all in this nation. And you don't find that today. There are no absolutes in this nation. And the always truth is absolute. There is no middle ground in his truth. That's why he commanded us, I would that you would be hot or cold. But if you're lukewarm, he said, I will spew you out of my mouth. So his truth is absolute. And when he speaks to us, it is the seat of his heart. And he cannot go back on his word. And so we began to see in the 50s and 60s, we began to see this great revolution in America, and it swept the world. It literally swept the world. At the moment of a time, you could almost see things that took place in different parts of the world. We saw the shaping of the mind during the Vietnam era, the war. Pictures immediately were sent back to America. Things that happened one day, the next day or two, they were able to transmit them back to this country and around the world that people could literally get a hold and an understanding of the egregious things that were being done in the name of democracy in a nation that is totally ravaged today, that is totally desecrated, no form of a government at all, because all governments of all the powers are of darkness. I do not care whether it's communist, capitalist, democracy. You have an elitist power at the top that control everything. You have a super rich class of people that control everything. And they control everything. They control the marketing. They control the shaping of your mind. They control your attitude. They control your personality. They control every aspect of your life. That is why Yahweh tells us to come out of her. Come out of this Jezebel, because she gives you a cup to drink from, and it's full of blasphemy. It's full of blasphemy. Now, everything that is on what we call the tell, and the visions of what the powers of darkness desire to do in this nation and around the world, it is full of blasphemy. The names, it blaspheme everything that is sacred and pure and right. It has no honor of it. And everything comes out of it. It blasphemes the name. Now, let me take that a little deeper. We understand that Yahweh gave Moshe the Torah. His Torah. You should not murder. You should have no God before Yahweh. You should not build any graven images. Remember the Shabbat and keep it set apart, Kodesh. He says, and do not take my name in vain. Now, that is what this tell, the visions of darkness, that's what they do. They blaspheme the very name of Yahweh, and Yahweh's name can only be substantiated by the power of his words that he speaks. You that are a little older, understand during the 60s and 50s, when one said something, their name or the credibility of their name was based upon their words. They would say, my word is my bond. My word speaks for me. So whatever I say, you can count on that. Now, that is what Yahweh is saying. Whatever I speak, you can count on that. It is the truth. You can rest assured. And it has nothing to do with your psychological or physiological instincts or your ability to think, your intellectual properties. It has nothing to do with that. We have some of the most profound intellectual properties that the world has ever discovered in this hour, do we not? And yet they're starving by the tens of millions in a nation like Africa and a continent like that. They're starving in China and Russia and India. They're starving by the millions of people. And yet a very small percentage of people in this nation possess and control the wealth. Why? Because it begins with the controlling of the mind of a people, a race, and a nation. It begins there. And the powers that be, it is not these men that we perceive are very bright men. You look at someone like Mr. Bill Gates.
45% of the lower half of the population of America, this man owns more wealth than 45% of all the people in America. You have the oligarchies there in Russia. They all, you're talking about 200 people that literally control 75% of the wealth in a nation like that. You have the caste system in India, whereby a few thousand people literally control the central wealth of a nation, and you have abject poverty. Do you understand that? It is the same scenario when HaMashiach, Yahshua the Lamb, when Shatan, when he was thrust forth into the wilderness. Now the scripture I read last night, Yochanan said that he was led by the Ruah into the wilderness, right? And it came a time when Yahshua HaMashiach was led by the Ruah into the wilderness to be tried for 40 days and 40 nights by the powers that be. And scripture says that Shatan, in the moment of time, showed him all the kingdoms and the glory of the kingdoms of the world. He showed it in that, in a moment of time. He said, now I want to tell you something, HaMashiach. I know that you're the living strength of Yahweh. You know you are the pure essence of His Torah. You have been made alive and to give us life and hope that the Torah does not bring the death that when men rejected that under the witness of Moshe, it brought death. You are the life of the Torah, what Yahweh intended for the being from the beginning. And so he showed him all these kingdoms at the moment of a time, just in the flash of a moment. We can literally today see the kingdoms in the moment of a time. We see people in these poverty-strapped nations. They show them the glamour and the glory of America. And everyone thinks that this is the heaven. What I'm looking for, the kingdom. Jesse Jackson said, we're looking for the pie in the sky. He's not going to even get the pie in the sky because he's an ignorant man. He doesn't know the power of Yahweh. And so when Shatan showed Yahshua all the kingdoms of the world at the moment of time, he said, now this will I give unto you, the power of it, the glory, you shall be esteemed. But there is one stipulation. You must bow down and worship me. You must submit unto me, you must bow unto me and declare that I am the God. That's all he wants to be declared as, the God. Now Yahweh cannot be expressed in the same demeanor as Shatan. Shaul calls him the God of this world. He said, if this message be hid from you, it is because the God of this world has blinded your mind, whereby the power of this truth will shine through unto you, and that you should be saved. And so he cannot be classified as a cherubim. He is Yahweh, his name expressed what he is in his power. And so we see in this scenario where Shatan said, you bow, and I will make sure that these things are yours. Now he has men today that have given over completely unto him. That's why everyone in America is not going to be rich. That's why he calls men to strive with contention and trying to ascertain things that they vanish like smoke. Their wealth, their materialistic gluttony and the desire. And so what he has done through this medium to control the mind, you have these charlatans, these pseudo-religious men, and they tell you that God wants you to be rich. Well, the God of this world, he wants you to be rich, those that will truly worship him, and men never find that place or that sphere to worship him. There are only a few that find that hierarchy or that place of hierarchy whereby they can find him, identify him, and worship him. That's why we today that say we know Yahweh, we cannot truly find that place of worship. Those that, as Yahshua met the woman, this Syrophoenician woman, he said, those that, she said unto him that, of us we worship in the mountains. We know who we worship. He told her, you worship, but you know not what you worship. He said, it will come a time that those that truly worship Yahweh will worship him, the Ruah, and in truth, and the power of his Torah. He is from everlasting to everlasting, and his Torah is the truth. And so what this blasphemy power has done, it has totally rejected. And so what he has done, he has taken this medium to actually control the minds of the masses of the population, that they can actually conform the opinions of everyone to think the same. Now that is the power of this Jezebel. Many say, well, that scarlet colors and all of that, we identify her as the Roman papacy and all of that. I believe that she has her parts and all of that. But it goes beyond the extent of that. It is one thing about the mind of man. It's very difficult for even Yahweh to get things through. That's why we have to have the mind of Yahshua HaMashiach. That's why Shaul said, let. He did not say Yahweh was going to compel him. He said, let. You simply let that same mind that was in Yahshua be in you as well. You let, when you let something, you allow it by permission to perform the functions that are necessary in us that Yahweh can show us and extrapolate unto us the things that are needed for us in order to walk in the power of His dynamics. I say to you all, listen, man is a very powerful thing. And that is why the powers that be desire to captivate the mind of man, because he's made in the image of Yahweh. It is something about the splendor and the beauty of a man. It's nothing like a man, nothing. There's no creation, no creature, no buildings, no magnificent architectural design, no historical, no profound rendition of an artist draws. Nothing is like man. Nothing. Nothing like this beast we call man. He is such a powerful thing that Yahweh is mindful of him. He is mindful of man every day. He is so mindful of man that he visits him every day. He visited us this morning. We had breath this morning to come alive, didn't we? In a comatose state last night, in the mist under the power of death, you did not know what you were doing at 1 a.m. this morning, 1:12, 1:13. You did not even know. And yet something profoundly happened this morning that he awakened us out of the midst of that death. You don't know what happened, that what takes place during a night's sleep. You may have a dream. It takes place about 100,000 millisecond. The dream, you think you're dreaming for an hour. It's like, boom, it's like that. That's all it takes, a second. And yet you always awakened us this morning with a profound breath. We were quickened and we came alive. And it's the strength of man, do you understand? Because Yahweh made him to rule, to have power, to have dominion over the earth. And the powers that be shot on, and those that fell from the Shemai, and they saw the very power that Yahweh delivered unto him. And he did it in a way like he's done with nothing else he's created. When he made him, when he created him, he put breath, he put his life in man. He breathed the breath of life in him, and he became a living being. He was fullness, he was in the fullness of Yahweh's power. Now I say that to say this, and the powers that be know that. And so what Shaitan has done, listen brothers and sisters, there was nothing that was going to keep Nimrod from building that tower to Babel. Nothing at all. What he had purpose in his heart, even Yahweh said that. What man has purpose in his heart, what he has determined to do, there's nothing that will stop him from that feat. There are many that will say that I do not believe that we've gone to the moon. I believe we have. I believe we have found a planet out there that they call Mars, a piece of orbiting Earth, of orbiting mass out there. And that's what man calls it, Mars, the name of their god. I believe that there is a mass out there, and I believe that they have sent a rover there, and I believe that it is sending back digital pictures. I'm not that cynical and not that stupid. I'm ignorant in many facets, but I do believe that man has the capability and the power to do that. If you look at something like one of these Boeing 747, that is a marvelous feat to see that thing fly with such massive tonnage. And yet it get above the Shemayams or the first heavens that we see. They get so high you can't even see the thing. And yet they move with great speed. And they cross the Atlantic, the Pacific, and the world. And what a massive thing. And if man could reach to that height, I believe that Nimrod would have reached to the pinnacle or the height to have some contact with the powers that be. And so what has happened now, that even men have given themselves over unto the satanic powers of the kingdom of darkness. And there is a kingdom of darkness. You understand? And they're giving themselves over unto these ruling powers, that they have the ability to open up his mind and to impart things in there to bring the masses of people under seduction and death. Shaitan's desire is to rule in this kingdom. Because if he can rule and cause men to reject and to denounce Yahweh, he can declare that I am the Mighty One and I created all things. But he cannot do that. Yahweh is not going to suffer him to do that. And that is why from the foundation before, he elected a people and he chose them and he sealed them by the power of the HaKodesh Ruah, by his spirit. He sealed his people. He said that even if it was possible, the very elect, those that have been chosen, the house of Israel, they will be deceived. He said, but they will not be deceived. That is the assurance that Yahweh has given unto the true house of Israel. It has nothing to do with your pinkish Caucasian skin. Has nothing to do with your blackness and your Afrocentric. Has nothing to do with that. If you ask most Africans what the name African means, where did it come from, they cannot tell you, because it certainly is not a name that is associated with a people of color or people of that dark continent. It came from one of the Roman generals or when they conquered that continent. That is where it came from. It has nothing to do with some kind of Afrocentric or some kind of Hebraic expression, none whatsoever. We are people that destroy because we're very ignorant. But I'm talking about the masses of the people, Caucasians, blacks, it makes no difference. Hispanics, those that call themselves Europeans, it makes no difference at all. His people are very saltish, they're very ignorant. We are dumbfound people, and the fact of the matter, we do not want to deal with our ignorance, and we don't want to deal with our shortcomings. We try to find reasons to compromise and to make give our own self reasons to continue in our way instead of walking in the path that Yahweh has ordained. He has ordained statutes and ordinance, a way that is right, and we should walk in that way. All the ways of a man, they are right in his own heart, in his own sight. But Yahweh, he ponders, he weigheth the balance of a man's ruah in his heart. He sees what is in the inward cortex of a man. That's what he looks at. He looks at the inward parts. And what is in the inward, it will assimilate outwardly. If you will. If you find a fool inwardly, he's a fool outwardly. He will act that way. If you find a genuinely compassionate man, you will sense that inwardly, and you will see that in his mannerism, and his warmth, his kindness. You will. So what's in, it comes out. The issues of a man's heart, that's the thing that comes forth out of a man. Now, I don't want to lose track of what I'm saying. And so what these powers have done, they have raised up rulers and kings that are very wicked and sadistic men. They're wicked men. They're men that have no consciousness at all. They have no fear of Yahweh. And there is nothing they will not do. Why? Because there is one evil that permeates the world today. And it's based upon one thing. It's based upon the love of money. For the love of money is the root of all evil. It is the root of all evil. The love of money. You always say there's a sore evil in the land. Mainly the owners to their own hurt. That they keep back the wages of the hirelings. And it is causing them hurt. And it is causing the nations of the people to be brought under that greed and that lust for money. And that is one thing that this Jezebel, as she offers this golden cup to the masses. It is one thing that the tell and the vision of it causes this insatiable desire. It cannot be satisfied. Hell and the grave is never full. Neither is the heart of man ever satisfied. And so it's causing this greed and this loss. And men will do anything to ascertain or to get what they think or perceive is good for them and appropriate for them. There's nothing beyond their measures. We see that today in Iraq, we have our illustrious president that say that they had weapons of mass destruction or weapons. And they have destroyed the lives of millions of people. They will bomb and kill and say, well, that's a part of war. And yet when the Sunnis war against the Shiites and the Shiites against the Kurds and the Kurds against the Sunnis, we're going to have a tremendous mess there. And they send the young men from this nation, these poor young men, black and white, and they send them to a nation to fight for a cause whereby they shall never win. And they will never win. They didn't win in Vietnam. When they had them to register to vote, there were 90% of the population voted. And look at the state of the nation today. There's no democracy there. It's only a greed. It is the lust of these ruling powers today, and they care very little about you. You're nothing but a piece of fleshly mass. You have no importance in the scheme of things. And what they do, they pit you one against each other. They pit the poor blacks against those buffy blacks. They pit the poor whites against those yuppie white people. And that's what they do. And they cause this tremendous warring and friction and battle. And they use their television. Because you see what they have and you desire that. You see what they possess and you want it. And it caused men to blaspheme and reject the Torah of Almighty Yahweh. It caused them to go away that it is strange. There's a strange way from Yahweh. It doesn't even touch the truth of His Torah. And that is the power, the powers that be, that is what they're doing today. And that is the power to manipulate. And they are doing, the minds are controlled. Do you understand the sexual transmitted diseases? You did not hear of any things like that in the 40s and the 30s. And now they are saying that almost every child today, because these diseases have mutated, every child today is born with some sexual transmitted disease. That's why you have children that they call autism. That was something in the day, it was just a mentally retarded child. And one may have an extreme talent when they were autistic, but one out of every 10 children today are autistic. Something is wrong. Yahweh did not make man like that. They have opened up, the parents have opened up their hearts to the powers of darkness. They have given themselves so over to these forces of darkness. And because of this television, we are seeing the immorality of this nation just go down the tubes. In every nation of the world, you have seen it. When they began to introduce this tale, this vision, they give them visions of hope that is unrealistic. Those visions on there, they're unrealistic. You're not going to live like those Hollywood scholars. You're not. You know, they tell you how much they think of them. They put them on the Broadway, Hollywood Walk of Stars, and everybody trample them under their feet. And that's what you're always going to do with them. These Jezebels and these scholars. Isn't that something? They put them and they walk on their names, and these are stars now. That's how ignorant they are. That's how dumb they are. They really do not know. If people would go there and step on O.J. Simpson's star, or some of the movie stars, Rock Hudson, they step right on them. You understand that? I don't think that's very honorable. I don't think that's the most honorable place to be for my name to be. Everybody stepping on it, spitting on it, throwing up on it. I don't think that's very honorable. Because that's what they are. And in these, that's what they call them stars, because they illuminate. They will take someone from nowhere. And they raise them up. They will take someone like a 50 cents out of New York. A gangster, what they call a gangster. Has been shot, 10-11 times. And they will pour millions of dollars on this man that calls himself a thug. It's no different with someone like a Britney Spears. These little Jezebels that run around half naked. No clothes on their bodies. And they will take someone like them, they will promote him, they will lift him up to the pinnacles of the stars, and people will literally, even the brightness of Orion doesn't impress them like this man. Nothing impresses them. And so what they do, they take a mass of the population, and they're drawn and they're given over onto these simple lyrics. Lyrics of stupidity. They're so stupid and childlike. They have no physiological impact at all in one's life. Don't tell me that has some kind of social impact in one's life. Listen to that trash. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that Britney Spears telling someone to twist their buttocks and get naked like me, that has some kind of impact in someone's life as far as some kind of mobility. And so what they do with the televisions, they set these people before you to shape your mind, to shape your thoughts, and to shape your ability and your consciousness to reject everything that is sacred and everything that is righteous, everything that is based upon Torah revelation. That's what they've done. And so, with the introduction of this thing, when it's proliferated, we see the sexual transmitted diseases. We see the proliferation of AIDS. We see that, don't we? We see them die. There are 125 different sexual transmitted diseases. That's how many they are. They're literally transmitting these diseases into the children, in their minds. They don't develop right. That's why they don't function right. That's why they have no motor skills, no analytical abilities at all today. They have none of that. And we don't want to deal with that. We want to brush it off and say some kind of social impact or because of their social environment. Well, their social environment is created that way because the powers that be have manipulated the minds of those that had some sense and they have none at all now to create these kinds of bondages to bring the people into diverse, into a stronghold of captivity. It's not as much as the physical state where they are. It is the ability of their mind. Because it doesn't take much to go out there and sweep the street, does it? It doesn't take much to pick the paper up and burn it, whether you have a burn law or not. Just burn the paper and clean up the place. It doesn't take much to do that, doesn't it? It doesn't take much to do that. If you got 50 houses that are broke down, would take 20 of the houses and remodel the 30. You got 39 houses. It doesn't take much. You understand? It is not as much as the social environment. It is much as the mental process or how we process things in our mind. That's what we need, HaMashiach's mind. And what he processed is the true Torah of Yohai. And if we don't have that, we will not process those things. And what we have today, we have people who know how they're very reluctant to deal with it. They don't want to deal with the circumstances. They don't want to deal with their plight. They don't want to deal with their greed and their lust. They don't want to deal with those things. And so the powers that be, they have established their own God. And that's her name, Tel. And she is the vision of the powers of darkness. That's all that thing emulate. That's all that you find on that dark, dark, fictitious things that draw the mind away from the reality of Yahweh and take a people into a surreal world whereby they cannot function properly before Yahweh. I want to read that scripture again. I want to read this again. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Gilead, now Revelation chapter 17, verse 3. Your Kahan said, I was taken by the Malach. He carried me away in the Ruah, in the spirit, into the wilderness. And HaMashiach was carried the same way. In one place it said he was led into the wilderness. And one place in Luke said he was led, and Matithiah said he was driven into the wilderness to be tried by the powers of darkness. For the purpose of Yahweh, what? Well, his Torah, his truth. And the Torah teaches us how to live, saints. And Yahshua is the power of that preserving of that life by the Torah. Yahweh did not give us a Torah, a law, for it to be for a specific time, and it has no relevance today. You take people today, they will say, well, the Shabbat was meant for those that you call your dear Jews. That is not so. Then I can murder. I can commit adultery. I can do all those things. I can steal. It is not so, brothers and sisters. It is meant for his people. Remember the Shabbat and keep it set apart. Keep it Kodesh. Set that time apart for me. So he was carried by the Ruah into the wilderness. And he saw this woman. He saw this religious, fanatical thing. And that is what this Tel vision is. It is a religious, fanatical thing. It introduced us to religion. A religion is the worship of God or gods. Who is the God of this world? What is the strength of his gods? There are many gods. Hinduism, 324 million. Which one do you pray to? That's difficult, isn't it? That is confusion. Babylon simply does not exist in America. Babylon, or that spirit of Babylon, of confusion, it permeates the world today. Governments do not know how to run efficiently. They cannot take the funds and take care of the poor. You have leaders of the countries, a small class, take the wealth and they pillage the wealth, billions of dollars. Something is wrong. You know, I say often to the brothers, I said, the first thing I would do, if I was a ruler of, take for example, one of the little little nation in Africa. The resources, probably the GNP or GDP is probably $20 billion. The first thing I would do, I would hire me one of the best geological force in the world. Go somewhere like Israel. Somewhere with men that they have the equipment to find me water for my people, first of all. And I will spend money to drill wells first. That would be the first thing I do, to have wells. Teach the people how to grow. Put a bean in the ground. Put a piece of maize in the ground and let it produce something. I would do that. That would be my first thing that I would do. And we will begin to settle ourselves just like they did in Israel, in the kibbutz. They do it in Africa all the time. They have tribes. They live together. They do it in India. They do it in they do it in China. There's a brother that takes the messages that I preach, and he translates them into the Tamil language of India. And so the people can hear it. He cannot preach in English, but he can translate the language, the messages, into his native tongue that the people would hear. And so that would be the first priority of business, to take care of the people. And so the spirit of Babylon, everyone is confused. Look at the corporations in America today. At one time, they offered pension funds. I was reading this morning that one of the most powerful corporations in the world at one time, IBM, and I worked there. Now, there's no more pension or anything. Why? Because the rich and the greed of the heart of the rich, they're never satisfied. It is not a concern about the lower class of the people. Period. And they have taken this, tell this mother of all abominations, the spirit of mother of all abominations. She is a mother. She teaches harlotry. That thing has taught your sons and daughters more harlotry than anything. It has taught them how to get naked, to shake their butts, to show their titties, to become like a beast, to unclothe themselves like beasts. It has taught your children every kind of immorality there is. Everything that is indecent, everything that is improper, it has taught your children that. She is the mother of harlotry and abomination. She is the God of abomination. She is the seed. She is the spirit of it. Because the men behind the helm of these powerful institutions, they know one God. He is the God of this world. Why? Because he showered them in riches. Give them wealth. It's his mind. And he did not lie. It is his for the season. But his day is coming. As the old tradition would say, payday. Is coming after a while. And it's coming. Payday is coming. And I always say, I will repay. And he's going to repay too. And so I saw this woman, he said, in the wilderness, in this place set apart. She had these beautiful colors, the colors of the bees. And she was full of the name of blasphemy. Now, that's what that thing does. It blasphemes everything. And I'm saying because they say, God damn. All gods are damn. I say that. All gods are dogs. And I don't take that back. Because Yahweh is not expressed in the same expression as Shaitan. If he is the God of this world, then who is Yahweh? All gods are dogs. Every god there is a dog. I don't care who it is. It's a dog. Every god. Why? Because in my genealogy, in my family, we have a god. And the god of my family is the robber's god. You can go to your name and tell me, what's your last name? She came from the Massey god. They love to amass, the mass of them. See, the robbers, they love to rob. There's a God that loves to rob. Rob. Robbers. Mass. Mass. Greed. Greed. And so everyone has a God because the God that that is concerned about you is the God of your tradition. The God of your heritage. It's not concerned about the robber's God. It's not concerned about the robber's clan. Say what you want, your will. We see that with the Sunnis. We see that with the Shia. We see that with the Kurds. They all say they call him Allah Akbar. God is great. They all say that Allah Akbar. But it tells them to kill the Shia. Why? Because they are the Shia clan. And so the Shia God is different than the Sunni God. It's alright for the Sunni to kill the Shia. Because their God permits that. It's alright for the Kurds to say what we're going to do. We're going to balkanize. And that's what they're doing. They're balkanizing. America's a balkanized nation. You got the whites. You got the rich whites that consider the poor whites trash. You got the upper middle class bumpy blacks and they committed the hood boys as nothing but trash. So it's a balkanization of a nation and a people. And this power that be has used that to create this great dilemma in this nation and the nations of the world to separate according to eco-social and racial educational, that's what it does. You understand that it only takes about 25% of the jobs in America that really requires an education. Most jobs can train people on the job. And yet these whorehouses, these institutions of this Jezebel, that's all they are. Cost you $50,000 a year for your son or daughter for her to learn how to be a good whore. For her to learn how to go take off her clothes. And to sleep with every boy she can. She's away from home. She's going to be free. Have two or three abortions. Get two or three kinds of sexual transmitted diseases. That's what they teach them. Don't tell me. I know what colleges are. I've been to college. I know what's in the midst of them. It makes no difference what kind it is. That's what they do. So you tell me that's a great strength to a nation? And yet we say we're being dumbed down. Something is wrong, isn't it? We call them great institutions of learning. They teach us a tremendous pride today. Proud. Because you have your name on a piece of sheepskin. And that makes you proud. That's quite ignorant to me. It really is. You will never do anything meaningful in life. You become a servant to a system that blinds your mind and your eyes, whereby you cannot see the power of Yahweh. But that's what this power that be is doing. That's what this Jezebel, this woman that plants seeds, and that is what a woman is. She is a life bringer, or the life that bears the seed. And so what this tell and this vision, the powers that be, it plants the seed in our simple minds. Scripture tells us, husbands, to deal with our wives according to knowledge. Know that she is the weaker vessel. Now, I know these perverts don't like to hear that, but that's just the truth. I know what this femininity has taught women. It's good for a woman to be feminine. It's not right for a man to be feminine. It's good for a woman to be feminine. It didn't know her place. It's a great place of honor. It's a great place of great reverence. It is. It's not like the place of a woman. It's a beautiful place. It is. It's one of the most profound places because she is the carrier of life. Nothing like a woman. And what this nation and this whore has done has robbed the women of their beauty and their essence and what charm they have. I saw a woman yesterday. She had on a pair of heels that high. And that's not the most stupidest thing on the face of the earth. And I'm looking at this thing now. I got on a pair of titty shoes, soft walkers. I'm very comfortable. And I look at this woman. She got on a pair of heels that high. They're that wide and they're that thin. I say, how in the world? Now, that's you take these twisted-minded men that design this stuff to make women look like bazookas, Joy the Clowns. And then she's a black woman. She got blonde hair. Now, that is not realistic. That is such a fictitious image. Her hair is not blonde. And she got blonde hair. Come on. And I'm looking at this beastly thing. I'd say, how ignorant. And she literally thinks that is a great charm. I walked in the store one day, and I saw this Caucasian man. At one time, the Caucasian would call them heathens. I saw him. He had earrings in his ear, holes in his ear. You could actually get my big fat finger through it. I said to him, as I looked at him, I said, I'll ask you something, lad. I want to talk to you. I said, what did your daddy say when you brought him over like that? He said, no, it didn't hurt. Just put a little regular hole in there and just keep stretching. And I looked at him, I said, it was one time that when I was in school, we saw these pictures of those tribes in the Andes and the mountains in South America and in Africa. And they were known as heathens. And see, that's the mindset of this generation. And that is what the vision, it has created a heathenistic mindset. It is a Gentile power. What is the heathen and the Gentile strength? It is one that is far removed from Yahweh. They don't have the presence of His strength. He said, I saw this great thing. She sat upon this beautiful colored beast, full of the name of blasphemy, and having seven heads and 10 horns. She had a ruling power. She had an hierarchy of authority. She had, her rule was over the mass of the kingdoms of the world, of the known kingdoms. She has always been in place during the Roman Medo-Persia. Makes no difference what kind of empire it has been. She has been the ruling power. And that is what Shaitan has been, the ruling power. Now, there are those that would translate or that effeminate form of Shaitan or the femininity as a she. You understand me? So he has taken this spirit and it calls it in part into the minds of many. And he has used the elements of the television to send forth his message. And it has captivated the world today. In blasphemy, you find it throughout the world. I want to read this scripture quickly in Nehemiah. I want to read this now for us. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 27. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 27. Yahweh said, and they took strong cities, and the fat land, and possessed houses full of goods, of all kinds of tar for good, well dug, vineyards and olive yards, and fruit trees in abundance, so that they did eat, and they were filled. And they became fat. Is not this nation becoming that way? It is a nation that is fat physically. It is a nation that it has no mobility. It is an immobilized nation. We might as well deal with the factual thing. That's the kind of nation we live in today. I was reading this morning that the children in France, they're becoming obese like the children in this nation. You must understand, when I was a young lad, we did not have the access to televisions. So we did all kinds of sporting activities. We did not have the best facilities, but we ran, we played, we jumped, we swam, we played golf, basketball, football, baseball, ran track. We did everything. He said, they become fat. You always say, I'm going to kill the fattest of them. And this is a fat nation. It is a nation that is seduced by its own greed and its own lust. And the television, say what you want to, it makes a nation fat. They call them couch potatoes. But they lay there for hours. They're consumed by the powers that rule them. They're lethargic. They cannot move. They cannot get out. And it's not of Yahweh. They mesmerized. He said, and delighted themselves in your great goodness. Look what he says. Nevertheless, they were disobedient. And they rebel against you, Yahweh. And they cast your Torah behind their back. Now that is what blasphemy does. I want to show you what is blasphemy. It is a filthy mind. It is a degenerate mind that rejects any kind of order. And Yahweh's name is the first order of business. It deals with the order of His established Torah, His truth, His statutes, His ordinance, His way that we should walk. So they have cast the Torah behind the back. Does television teach you to keep Torah? Do their splendid orators teach you to keep the Torah? And the airways are filled of religious channels and all splendid speakers. Very eloquent, beautiful in their articulation, precise in their grammar. Don't even sweat. Control environments when they speak. That they don't even have to wipe their face. Their hair never moves out of place. Powdered up, hair moose down and everything. You can't even see a pimple on their face. Smooth talkers, pseudo-religious personalities, and they blaspheme. Everyone got one. Why? Because this is the Kenny Copeland ministry. This is the Fred Price ministry. That's blasphemy. It's blasphemy. This is the Kenny Copeland ministry. This is the John Hagee's ministry. This is the Oral Roberts ministry. This is the Jimmy Swaggart's ministry. This is the Creplo Dollar ministry. That's what they call their ministry. The Benny Hinn ministry. Isn't that what they say? Sure they see that, my friends. Has nothing to do with this is Yahweh's Torah truth. Yahshua said, the doctrine that I preach is not mine, but it is the one that sent me. So Creplo teaches his doctrine. Or Roberts teaches his doctrine. Benny Hinn has his doctrine. Fred Price has his doctrine. But they have cast the Torah behind their back. Look at this now. I want you to follow this. He said, they have cast your Torah behind their back. They have killed your nabis. They have killed the prophets. They have destroyed the true prophets. And they have raised up pseudo-prophets. And we see a prime example of that in the renewed covenant. One by the name of Stephen, full of the power of Yahweh. And he began to tell him, you stiff neck and you uncircumcised in heart, you always do resist the high Kodash Ruah. You're just like your daddy. The children that you would meet, you knew their fathers were hell raisers, twisted in their mind, and you say, you're just like your daddy boy. She's just like her mother. You've seen homes whereby the mother was a whore and every daughter's a whore. That's just the truth. I can see that in my natural family. My mother was not the most proper woman. She having 6 babies by 6 different men, that's not proper. Say what you will or may. And so that has been transfused into my natural kinsmen. They're not my family now. My brothers are that way. My sister, they all have children by different individuals. Sister has 3 babies by 3 different men. That's just the truth. Today, most girls that have 2 or 3 babies, they're by 2 or 3 men, at least. They're not by the same man, at least by 2 or 3 men. I do not care whether they're Caucasian, whether they're black. It makes no difference at all. It crosses every ethnicity, every race, every social circle. It makes no difference at all. How do you know? Can I ask you all a question? Where did this come from? We look at that television. We raise up these little Jezebels. And this one may have a baby by this what they call this bronze star. She leaves him after 1 year, goes to another and have another baby. They're doing that in Hollywood. It's just Hollywood. That's all it is. They're teaching your children the immoralities that it's right to do it. It's normal to do those things. They're raising up seeds for the fire of darkness. When Pharaoh said that I'm going to come down on Israel, yet Yahweh began to produce babies, he began to multiply the children. And out of that, it came forth the one called Moshe. And the midwife said, when the poor children are coming out, they're lively. We don't have time to take them out. And so today what they say, in China, they have a policy, you want a boy. And now you got homosexual running rapidly there. No girls for women to marry. You got a city like Atlanta, man. Why will a man marry a woman today if he got his own oats out? He doesn't have to. Because there are about 3 women to every 1 man. I guarantee in Atlanta, I must look at my statistics, but I guarantee there are 2.5 women or 3 women to every 1 man in the city. So they don't have to marry. Why? There's a great imbalance. It's not of Yahweh. So in China, they're butchering them. In America, they're butchering them. They're killing them. They're sucking them out of their wombs. Where have they learned that? How have they come to that kind of a consciousness that that's all right to do? How is it that that's all right to do? Is there an episode of that in Scripture? Did not the house of Israel, yes it is, would not they take their children to the valley of Hinnom and offer up their babies unto the 5 Moloch and Mocham? This is not something new, brothers and sisters. And so now they suck the babies out of the wombs of these 12, 13, 14-year-old girls. They're having babies. They're getting pregnant at that age. Why? Because school today, I was reading this morning that there was a teacher. She's 50. He was 53. And they were literally having sex in the class while the other teachers watched and stood at the door so no one would do it. What? Discover that. They said they would have sex in the gym. They would have it in the bathroom. They would have it in the classroom. And they're suing the school because they're going to fire them. And they did this for a prolonged period of time. Now today the children are watching these bad girl movies. Do you hear me? And they're having sex. They want to do it. They have sex in class. They perform oral copulation and things like that. They're getting diseases in their throats. It's a mass of death in the earth today. All because of the vision. That the one that loves to tell gives to your children. We know he likes to tell, don't we? Because we know the book of Ehob, Scripture says, when the sons of Yahweh came to present themselves unto Yahweh, there came this vile thing from darkness. So what are you doing? He said, I'm walking to and fro on the earth. For what reason? He has to walk now. He has to find him a position. He's seeking who I can devour. I want to destroy someone. Yahweh said, have you considered myself in Job? Ehob. Have you thought about him? He's an upright man, mighty. One that loves me and he hates evil. He hates it. He said, I'll consider him, but you got your hedges about him. Can't do nothing with him. He always says, I'll tell you what. I give you his flesh. He said, but you can't touch the life, the ruah that is in him. I don't care what all they said, they could not touch that life in Eo. He did not charge Yahweh foolishly. Oh, he questioned Yahweh. Yahweh wanted him to do that. He drove him to that. He intended to bring him there. He wanted that. Because Yahweh was certain whom he is. And he knew what he had in Eob. Did he bless him after that? Did he refurbish him? Sure he did, brothers and sisters. He knew what he was about. He knew what he had. He knew who he was. Yahweh didn't have no doubt on him. He said, I know who I am, Eob. Come on, I send you. These are your friends. You're wounded in the house of friends. Come on, I intend for them to wound you. You're going to come to me. I'm the healing balm of Gilead. He said, I intend for them to wound you. I put them there to wound you. That's the purpose. I do healer. He said, I want to have you to pray for them. They're going to raise you up. They're going to say, only Yahweh could do that. That's my purpose. Come on. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Yahweh delivered them out of them all. We're going to be afflicted. He intended for you to be afflicted. Because you're going to have confidence in Him. You're going to trust Him. And He's going to have a people that's going to truly trust Him. And they're going to rely upon Him and wait upon Him. Look at this now. I want to finish this. He said, first of all, you have cast my Torah behind your back. He said, you have slew the prophets. You have testified against them to turn them to you. He says, and they work. Look at this now. And they work great provocation, contempt. They work blasphemy. And that's what the word contempt is. It is a blasphemy against Yahweh. And that's what this nation and the people of the world are doing. Because they're drinking from this cup. We see the power of her tentacles has spread in every poor place. I guarantee you in Iraq, you understand what they've done in Iraq. One of the first things they have done, in the midst of Saddam, in the midst of that confused spirit there, he kept a tight rein on things. He did. And what has happened there is that America has brought in, there are only a few businesses and companies that are actually making billions of dollars off that nation. Mr. Bush has bombed it. Now he's saying they're on their own. That's wrong. That is flat out wrong. It's not of Yahweh. The heart of the king is in the hand of Yahweh. He puts the heart in his hand. He raises up the king and he brings down. You understand? Not Mr. Bush. Not the governments of the world. All powers that be ordained of Yahweh. I don't care what the government is. Yahweh ordained it. Every power. Romans 13, Romans 13, every power that be. I don't care what the power, what the government is. It's ordained of Him. And it works to His proficiency. And will bring about a good thing. You see, what He tries to show us, we're not bound, although we can be in the communist government. That doesn't take us. We don't have to stop worshiping Him. We can be in a Muslim nation. We still can call upon His name. We still can worship Him. We still trust Him. But in death, surely. But because He's a precious in the sight of Yahweh, the death of His saints, of His kedushimans, is a precious thing in His sight when one dies. Precious in the sight of Yahweh is the death of His kedushim. His people. He rejoices in that. We fear death today, don't we? That's why we got every kind of doctor plotting, every kind of medication. You're still going to die. No doubt about that. You're going to die. That's an appointment that Yahweh says. This is appointed unto man wants to die. And then the judgment. You're going to die. You're not going to prevent that from coming. And so she has her name full of blasphemy. And that is what this tell, the vision of darkness, that's what He gives us. Names of blasphemy. Our children today that were raised in homes that were decent, they got all kinds of gods they know today. All kinds of gods. They blaspheme the truth of Yahweh. He goes on to say in verse 4, look at this now. He said, and the woman, she was carried, she was arrayed, she was dressed in purple and scarlet. The official colors of this Roman papacy, this Jezebel. And she was decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. You see someone decked like that. You know that mesmerizes people today. They see these rappers and these ball players. They got gold drenching off their necks and on their teeth today. Do they not dress like that? It is the spirit of this woman. They have gold hanging off their necks. They have gold on their fingers. Gold in their ears. Diamonds in their teeth. That's the way they dress. She was dressed this way and having a cup in her hand full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. Tell me, this woman this television. It is the direct cause of such proliferation of filthiness, of abominable acts. Men unfaithful with their wives. Man should not sit there and look at some Jezebel that he will never touch, he would spit on him, and lust after those things, and be holding that young girl's naked, shaking their buttocks, scantily clad, and they consume hours of this. This is not of Yahweh. David said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. That's a wicked thing. He said, I will not allow that thing to consume me. It's an evil thing. It is a conduit of evilness. It creates that in your children. They have no sensitivity to what death is because they see it so much on television. They have no concept of life and death. They have no fear of anything at all today. The t-shirts they were wearing at one time, no fear. There will be some fear. And it's going to come. You understand? They can kid themselves, but the fear shall come. They can mock you all way, but fear is going to come. It is going to come, saints. It is going to come. So she has this cup full. Think about this for a moment. Is that thing that we call television, is it full of abominations? Is it full of that? Is it a cup that you can drink from all night? Men sit there and they cannot go to sleep because they don't want to go to sleep because they want to drink. It will sit there for hours and just drink. And this is the mother of religion. I'm telling you, she is a religious conduit. There's no other invention on the face of the earth that has propagated religion and the spirit of religion like this tell, this vision. And what things should be. And so she has been the cup that is full of abomination. And the filth of her trashy and filthy practices. It costs your mind to think filthy. Don't tell me, brothers and sisters. A woman that has no husband. She is not betrothed unto a man or a man betrothed unto a woman. Don't tell me that the man has the power to sit and watch all that all day. And his mind is not inundated with filthy thoughts and filthy things. He will not think that way. He will think filthily. It will be a corrupt thing that has been birthed in his mind. And it moves his mind away from truth, the Torah of Yahweh. He can't think clearly. He can't think properly. And our young sons and daughters today can't think properly today. They have no ability to reason and to analyze. You can't tell them they don't look crazy the way they dress. You cannot tell them, this is my expression. It is not your expression. Someone come up with that crazy idea to dress like that. And all the kids are dressing like that. So don't tell me it's your expression. Don't tell me you walk around with your pants off your buttocks. It's your expression. It was something that was invented in the prison houses. The homosexual wore them like that to let the prisoners know that they were ready for them. So don't tell me you invented that. Did you got something that no one else has? Everybody walks around like that. Makes a difference who they are. They walk around like that. It is not of Yahweh. The men should dress kodash differently, set apart than the women. The women should dress differently. The women shouldn't wear pants. It's an abomination to Yahweh. It is an abomination. She's full of that. And that's all women wear today, pants. That's it. A man should not wear that garment which pertains unto a woman. Neither shall a woman wear that which pertains unto a man. He that do so is an abomination unto Yahweh. So does it teach our young ones how to dress and how to, it teaches them every style comes from the tell. Vision, have a vision of how they should dress. Isn't that so? Tell them what things that they should wear. Tell them how to dress. Believe me, if it's an abomination for a man to lie with a goat, if it's an abomination for a man to lie with man like he does with womankind, it is an abomination, as Scripture says in Devarim, for a woman to put on a man's garment. It is still abominable. Now, this religious whore doesn't teach that. Because they serenade in the houses that way, dress like men. You don't know the man from the woman today. The man's hair's down his back like the woman. He got a ponytail like the woman.
That should not be so. Jehu said, nature itself teaches us that it's a shame for a man to have long hair. He should cut his hair. If there's anything going to happen, let him have a long beard. Let him have a long beard. I know what the religious whore teach you. It teaches you to shave your mustache, shave everything. That's what it teaches us. That's what they did with Yosef. When Potiphar called for him, they cleaned him up. They shaved him. And so it's amazing because they tell you they literally shaved the man. You look at some of the pictures of Egyptology of the pharaohs and things, they were feminine looking to me. Say what you want to. Yahweh put that on a man's face for a purpose. And he intended for it to grow too. And everything that we know today tells you don't grow it. That's what it does. Now that's not salvation, but I think we should obey Yahweh. You understand? Look at this, saints. I want you to hear this. It says in Titus, the renewed covenant. She has a cup that is full of abominations and the filthiness of her filthiness, her fornication. Look at what he says in Titus chapter 1 verse 14. It tells us, do not give heed to your dim or Jewish fables, Titus 1:14, and the commandments of men. We have all kinds of commandments of men, don't we? We do not walk in the Torah or the laws of Yahweh. We walk in the bylaws of men. The Baptist bylaws, the Pentecostal bylaws, the apostolic bylaws. Everyone has a bylaw today. They bypass the Torah of Yahweh. That's what they do. The Yahdim, the Jewish fables, they bypass the Torah of Yahweh. The black religionists and the white religionists, they bypass the Torah of Yahweh. All flesh is as grass. Do you hear me? White flesh, black is trashy. Has no value at all. Sure. It means nothing. He said that turn from the truth. They established the commandments of men and they turned from the truth, the Torah. He said, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. He said, even the conscience of the mind and the conscience is filthy. It is defiled. It's full of filthiness. Is not that hell and the vision defiling the conscience today, causing it to become seared? And look what he says in verse 16. They profess that they do know the power or Yahweh. He said, but in their manifestation in their works, they deny him. Why? Because they are abominable, they are filthy, and vile, and disobedient, and unto every tough work or righteous work, they are literally reprobate. They cannot be touched by the truth of Yahweh. So don't tell me there is nothing that comes from that thing we call the vision, to tell us a vision that is not abominable. It is abominable. It's filthy. Tell me one thing that comes from there that is essential for us, that we actually need it. He began to behold that. She spreads the doctrine of this Roman papacy, that this religious whore is the tentacle of the powers that be, the ruling rich class. Every nation, I don't care where you go to, every nation. You look at some of the nations in Africa. I was reading this morning, it's so sad that in Kenya. And I was in Kenya 16, 17 years ago. I was in Kenya. And you see people, about 15 years ago, you see people there that are in starvation. Sudan. Nigeria. They're starving. Dying. Yet you have an elitist class. They live very rich. They're powerfully. Has nothing to do with the race of the people. It has to do with this religious power or this abominable filth, this mindset. And its strength is of the powers of darkness. And yet the people are starving. You think that they would drill one well? Come on. Set aside $1 billion out of your total GDP. Quit taking the kickbacks and stealing from the people and drill wells. Hire you some geological firm that will find the water. There's enough water under the earth. You understand? 90% of all the fresh water, 90%, is in the Antarctic and the ark. We're 90% of the warriors. And now everyone is trying to lay claim to that now. Russia, Britain, America. They polluted the waters. This nation, we have polluted everything. It's going to be difficult to find a decent glass of water. You can't drink the water in Atlanta. You can't drink the water in these cities. It's poison. Full of drugs, chlorine. What do you think the water come from? You think that water that you flush down the stool doesn't find its way back into your house? You think it doesn't? It almost smells like chlorine when it comes out of your faucet. Doesn't smell like water. Water doesn't smell like that. How do you know? Because we got wells when it comes out, it's pristine. Cold, tastes good. That trash you buy at the store, that's nothing. I'm talking about water. It's coming from the belly of the earth. That the rocks have processed it, and it's been cleansed through that. It's a living water. It has a life in it. That's what water is, to have life in it. Living. Have all the minerals and the things that you need for your body. That's what water is. Not this trash, every kind of chemical you can think of coming through the faucet. You get that stuff in your body, it's not healthy for you. But the powers that be, they have one objective. One. And they're going to rule with supreme power. They're going to rule. And so what they're doing in this hour, they are polluting the minds and the hearts of everyone. For what? There's no reverence of even their gods. Their sun day, sun pagan worship. No reverence of their gods. No reverence of their Jesus, their lords, and their Christos, their Christ. There's no reverence of that. It is a pretense. It is a false thing. It's not real. And so what? These are some of the elements of this cup. It's always these fables and the commandments of men. Are not they drinking from this cup today? Look at the Roman establishment. She got her own commandments. They're not the mitzvahs of Yahweh. She got her own commandment. She got her own traditions. She got her own rituals. She got her own papacy. He is the one that has sovereign power. He died, didn't he, Mr. John Paul? And I tell you, Mr. Clemens is going to die too. And that's the truth. They're old men. And their lives are going to expire. And that is the truth. Well, you may go before him. Absolutely true. I may go. But it's a sure thing. He will go. He will die. What a great battle between Mr. Ariel Sharon and Mr. Arafat. Mr. Arafat leaves the scene. And now if Mr. Sharon is not dead today, he's not going to live much longer. And that's just a fact. Period. This life is going to expire. Just like your life and my life. It is an appointment of Yahweh. It is a nation that is the cauldron of abominations. She spreads it throughout the world. She sends it. She spreads it out. In Iraq, there was no such thing as pornography under Mr. Saddam. And now it is proliferated. You do not have brothel houses, but it has proliferated. You go to Germany, I've been to those countries, brothel houses, you can go in there and have anything you want.